Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together. We work together. We respect each other. We like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos. Ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Often imitated but never duplicated, 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. Of course, I'm also a four-time Golden Glove boxing champion, so I could fight a little bit, or at least I could back in the day. And I know a little about boxing because I was an award-winning boxing writer. So evidently, supposedly, allegedly, I know a little bit about boxing. But like I say at the top of every hour, I'm going to give you, the boxing fan, a shot here to show me up. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. That number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Well, unification match last night, WBC, WBA 122-pound champions, of course, hooking it up. Brandon Figueroa, the WBA champ, coming out on top. Luis Nery, probably not the smartest move in the world since he left Eddie Reynoso and Team Reynoso. Of course, Team Reynoso, the stars. I mean, they got Canelo, they got Ryan Garcia. And I know Ryan Garcia has taken a lot of heat lately because of his emotional issues. The fact he's got anxiety or depression, people say he's a puss, he's this, he's that. Have you ever been depressed? You ever had somebody die in your family, like maybe a dog? I mean, I still cry over my dog 2.5 years later. So what I'm trying to tell you is you can't measure a person's emotions. No way, no how. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, so don't dog Ryan Garcia, King Rye, because he still got the 2.3 million Instagram followers. All those chicks still love him. Hey, Ryan's got it going on. As a fighter, I still think he's the best. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look in the world of boxing and men's martial arts. Let's go back in time. 1964, The Tonight Show.
I'd like you to meet, perhaps, ladies and gentlemen, the next world's champion of the Lexington YMCA. Young man, I hope the next champion of the United States. Why not? Cassius Clay.
Well, he has been lifting weights.
Man, I was surprised to learn, you know, because I've gone along with the cliche, you know, that you're all a product of poetry and everything, but I didn't know that you were United States Olympic boxing champ, 1959 and 1960,
national gold. United States Olympic champion, world Olympic champion. I had to.
Oh, now you've gone too far.
Before, you were, I had to beat everybody in the United States to qualify for the whole.
Are you the world?
The world, gold medal winner, right?
Well, how about that? Where'd you start boxing? Why did you start boxing?
I started boxing in Louisville, Kentucky.
Why?
2 years ago.
Tell me, sweet, the nice little
12 years ago, someone stole my bicycle.
That's right.
And I said, if I ever catch the guy, I'm going to beat him up, but I never did catch him.
You never did?
No, but.
And you feel that you possibly could
do it? I'm getting ready to fight the roughest and the toughest man in the world.
Sonny Liston.
Right.
And you feel you have a chance?
If he dreamed he beat me, he would apologize.
Yeah.
That's right. Sonny Liston rather take off his sport coat, soak it in gasoline, and run through hell before he fights me.
I know he's
backing away all the time, like you.
Listen, why don't you play for him? You're going to play the fight with him, would you?
Oh, that's I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Well, why don't you play and let Cassius... Because if you don't, if you can't fight, you know, if it doesn't work out, you can always get a job with Berman Shave, I think, the way he was just rhyming.
Would you like me to play?
Yeah, that'd be a beautiful combination.
All right.
Yes, please.
Well, you recite something, and I'll make up the music, too. For a change, do the one about you.
This is the legend of Cassius Clay, the most beautiful fighter in the world today. He talks a great deal and brags indeed of a muscular punch that's incredibly speedy. The mythic world was dull and weary. With a champ like Liston, things had to be dreary. Then someone with color, someone with dash, brought fight fans running with cash. This brash young boxer is something to see, and the heavyweight championship is his destiny. This kid fights great. He's got speed and endurance. But if you decide to fight him, increase your insurance. This kid's got a left. This kid's got a right. And if he hits you once, you're asleep for the night. And as you lie on the floor while the ref counts 10, you pray that you won't have to fight me again. For I'm the man this form is about, the next champ of the world. There isn't a doubt. Here I predict, and I know the score. I'll be champ of the world in 64. If Cassius says a mosquito can pull a plow, don't ask how. Hit him up.
I talked about her earlier. I'm talking about Chrissy Martin, of course, the coal miner's daughter. A sold-out show, the Crown Reef Resort in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I said it was in Florida. New Orleans core lightweight Jeremy Hill took out Colombian Devil Julio Basayo with a four-time knockdown beating. Straight up, Chrissy Martin's a winner as far as being a promoter is concerned. More power to her. Of course, as I said, the toughest woman in the world. When you can get stabbed and you can get shot and you can still survive, I think that's pretty cool. Plus, of course, she survived Don King for all those years. Bottom line is Chrissy Martin's rock and roll, and I hope to have her on next week's show. Now, pound for pound, of course, one of the greatest fighters, I think, going today, the lightweight champion Teofimo Lopez, the guy that Hector said wasn't going to beat Vasyl Lomachenko. He beat the brakes off of Vasyl Lomachenko, okay? And I think he's going to beat the brakes off of George Kambrasis when they hook up on June the 5th. Of course, this is for the World Lightweight Championship, all with the exception of the WBC crowns. So we'll talk about that to an extent with the WBC president in a couple of minutes, talk about Mauricio Sulaiman, of course, because right now the WBC's got Devin Haney. They've got the aforementioned Ryan Garcia, who I just love. I mean, everybody says to me, why are you in love with this kid? Because I think Jack Fisk told me one time, never fall in love with a fighter. I said, Jack, why? He goes, don't do it. I said, why? He goes, I fell in love with Alexis Arguello. He goes, yeah. Then I found out he was a womanizer, and he smoked cigarettes every day of his life, and he was drinking, he was a drunk, and he was this, and he was that. I go, Jack, enough, enough, enough. Anyway, you don't fall in love with a fighter. That's what they say. I have fallen in love with fighters in the past. And right now, I think that, I'm not saying I'm in love with Ryan Garcia, but I want him to do well. I just want him to do well. I think he's got the right attitude. He's a good kid, and he's got a decent amateur background, and I just wanted to beat the guy from San Francisco, Devin Haney. Why? Because Devin won't give me an interview on the show. Devin, you heard this. You were in town for 2 weeks, and you didn't come down to the studio, wouldn't come around, so the bottom line is I'm picking Ryan Garcia to beat you. Now, of course, Hector and I can bet on that one, no doubt about that, but Hector's a little cheap when it comes to paying up on them bets. I'm telling you, Barb, he don't pay. You got to chase him around to get paid. You hear me, Mr. Mailman out there, old millionaire guy? Tough to get. He bought me a cheeseburger for the last fight. I mean, he owed me money. We bet on fights. He bets cheeseburgers. He doesn't want to bet any money, Mr. Millionaire himself. Anyway, big fights coming up, of course. Big, big fights, the lightweight championship. And then you've got Floyd Mayweather coming back against Logan Paul, Jake Paul. Might as well be Scott Cuddy. Might as well be Mrs. Sterile. I mean, come on, man. Floyd's going to fight this guy that's like lost his only fight he's ever had. He's a big lummox. He's not really a fighter. He's like a YouTube creation. What does that mean? Does that mean I can come back at my age and start beating people up? If you want to let me fight those guys, I can. I'm serious. You want to let me come back and fight Logan Paul, Jake Paul? I beat those guys. I beat them like a drum. Seriously. In shape, out of shape, no doubt about that. But Floyd's going to fight him for like millions of bucks. Millions of bucks to fight a guy that can't fight. Why didn't they ever offer me fights like that? Boxing world's unfair, no doubt about that. Speaking of boxing world, of course, the World Heavyweight Champions is going to go down August 14th in Dubai. They're telling me now, Bob Arum sort of confirmed this over the weekend. Of course, the world heavyweight champion was the undefeated now 28 fights and a draw. I'm talking about Tyson Fury taking on the once-beaten 2012 Olympic gold medalist, Mr. Anthony Joshua. Of course, he's once beaten, losing that fight to Ante Luiz when he lost that fight to that fat Mexican slob. And he was at that point. I mean, come on. He was like 300 pounds. And then he beats Anthony Joshua. So what happens in between? He goes and does himself some blow, gets some more, starts drinking some more beer, and gets fatter. So then he starts training camp at 317 pounds, comes down to 283. He's got big breasts, big old breasts. I mean, you know, I mean, unattractive breasts, okay? Not even attractive. Anyway, bottom line, he's a big fat guy. He lost to Anthony Joshua, lost almost every round to Anthony Joshua. And then, of course, he's come back now with Eddie Reynoso and Team Reynoso, a.k.a. Team Canelo. Now, they've got him down in weight. I think he was down to like 260 pounds or 255 pounds in his last fight against Chris Areola, which is good. But, you know, sometimes you can't make chicken soup out of chicken spit. And I can change that letter from a P to an S, from a P to an H if I have to. But the bottom line is you just can't do it. I mean, you just can't, I mean, do I think Andy Luiz or Ante Ruiz or whatever? Okay, I'll call him by his real name. Andy Luiz. Andy Ruiz. Okay. Do I think he's going to become a real star ever again? No, I think he was an asterisk in boxing history. I think he was just a guy that happened to get lucky and caught Anthony Joshua on the chin when Anthony brought that chin to him. Joshua brought the chin to him. When he didn't bring the chin to him in the second fight, he couldn't touch him. At the end of the day, Andy's just a fat guy. Team Reynoso, good luck on that one. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. After the break, the WBC president, Mauricio Sulaiman, El Presidente in the house on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.
Joshua looks so tired. I think he wants out.
That's it. He says that's it. Andy Ruiz is the heavyweight champion.
We're talking Byline Sports, where sports happens.
You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
Take us south of the border, Mexico City, and bring in the president of the World Boxing Council, Mr. Mauricio Sulaiman. How are you today, sir? Mauricio? No. No.
Hello, hello, hello.
All right. Mauricio, how are you, sir?
Fine, Pedro. How are you, my dear friend?
Fine, man. Did you kiss mama for me this morning?
Absolutely. As always.
All right. Thank you so much, man. So how's she doing?
She's doing great. She's waiting for the 2 week grace after the vaccine, the second vaccine, and she's going to start doing a little gatherings with her friends. It's been way too long.
You know, Larry Merchant is moving. You know, he's 90 years old. He's moving from Santa Monica, I won't say what street, but to the beach down there in L.A. So he's moving right now. He's 90 years old. He had the vaccine. And he went out to a boxing meeting about a week and a half ago. He had a great time. So it looks like the world is going to come back to normal slowly but surely.
Well, I had dinner with him in Los Angeles. A night before the Areola-Ruiz fight, We had a little gathering at the Palm with the old friends of boxing. And he looked great. Larry Merchant looked great and happy. And the world is turning, my friend.
Yeah, he told me about it. He likes you. He liked Daddy. And speaking of Daddy, I had a kick out of Jose Sulaiman the other day because, you know, the other day, the only time I don't drink, everybody knows I don't drink. Everybody in the World Boxing Council and around the world of boxing knows I'm not a drinker. But when they tried to pull me off that boat in Malaga, Spain, after they gave me that cigar, you know, Spider Bynum said he took the Cuban cigar. He's laughing. He gave me a Cuban cigar. He said, how do you smoke a cigar? He goes, smoke it like just take a big long drag and suck it in. And I said, okay. So I took this big long drag and sucked it in, and I was laying on the floor of the boat. My head was spinning all around. I couldn't believe it, this and that. So your father walks past me, and he looks down at me. He says, Pedro, are you okay? I said, no, Godfather, I'm not okay. Anyway, he asked me later, were you drinking? I said, no, Spider Bynum drugged me. He gave me the cigar. He told me to inhale the cigar. They had me on the pier for 45 minutes. The entire part, they had buses. You know, buses that brought us there? Charter buses that brought us to the pier. We had to take a cab back because I was in no condition to get on the bus. Everybody thought I was drinking. I wasn't drinking. Bottom line is, I don't drink. That was my little WBC story for the day. Now, last night, Brandon Figueroa captured the WBC crown in a WBA-WBC unification match. Pretty thrilling match there, Mr. Figueroa.
Yes, yes. It was a wonderful action-packed fight. Figueroa, very aggressive, moving forward, landing solid punches and taking punches. And that was a masterful hook to the body that knocked out the previously undefeated Neri, who had been champion in bantamweight, now in super bantamweight, and he lost the title. And we have a new champion, a very proud Figueroa, who is a role model in society, a very nice kid.
Okay. Now, we had a fantastic event last week. 73,000 people turned out, of course, in Dallas, Texas for Canelo Alvarez, the king of boxing, turning back Billy Joe Saunders. Wow, 73,000 people. That was an indoor record for the United States as far as boxing crowds were concerned.
Yes, that's a long-standing record who belonged to Muhammad Ali and Spinks at the Superdome, and it was very exciting to see such an event. As I said, the world is turning, and it was great to see that it was a boxing match which featured the first real sporting or entertainment event with a full capacity crowd and such a great atmosphere. And it was a tremendous fight also. So it was a demonstration of why Canelo is considered the pound for pound. And he was finally, he got to be recognized by the people. Now he can feel proud and happy.
You know, I think he knows where his stature is in boxing. I think he realizes he is the pound for pound king in boxing. He's not conceited about it. I mean, I've been following him for a few years in different conventions and things like that. We'll see him at the fights, but he's probably the most humble guy that I've come in contact with in the upper echelons of boxing, especially Mexican boxers, because for the most part, and I don't want to name names, but we like to party. Roberto Duran and guys like that, and he's part Mexican, Roberto, part Panamanian, part Mexican. But Canelo doesn't party.
No, he doesn't party, and he's very disciplined. Right after the fights, he goes back to the gym. Now he fell in love with golf, and it's just keeping him always active and in shape, never gains weight. So he's guaranteeing a long-lasting career when you have such discipline and dedication. He doesn't take all the, when you party like the ones that you mentioned and the many more that we know, it takes years from your ring life. So he's guaranteeing a good 6-7 more years in the ring he continues in this path.
You know, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact the 12-round fight, because we talked about this before, the damage incurred in the 13th, the 14th, the 15th round, it wasn't for anybody but bloodthirsty savages, because those 13th, the 14th, 15th round, you had nothing left.
Yeah, it was dramatic. It was brutal. Of course, for the fans, it was entertaining and very exciting to see two people without anything left. Just trying to survive with so much fatigue and dehydration. But, it was dramatic, but it took a long, strong price.
But that's not me. That's not what I like. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see guys get destroyed. I don't need to see that. I want to see clean, athletic contests. In other words, when a guy, like the fight with Canelo and Billy Joe Saunders, the fight was over. I mean, once the fight's no longer competitive, the fight should be stopped. That's why we have the potential residual effects from boxing, was the fact that fights don't get stopped when they should. And, you know, I was ragging about this earlier, Mauricio, but the UFC, those guys never stop fights. They just let those guys go out there and get battered.
You know, I was just watching my nephew showed me a knockout. Andres showed me the knockout of, I think it was yesterday. You know, the fighter falls down, and those blows when the fighter is down are so damaging. They keep punching until the referee has to tackle them, and it's so dangerous. It's that's one thing I absolutely do not like. Of course, the rules permit to hit.
Well, obviously, it's not working for me either. And you know, at the end of the day, people call it entertainment, but the residual effects, you and I, oh, we lost Mauricio. Let's try to get Mauricio back there on Skype. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. You know, it only happens when you're, like, going live from one country to another. It never happens when they're calling next door, but it happens from country to country. So we'll try to get Mauricio Sulaiman back on the line here. Of course, he is the president of the World Boxing Council. He was celebrating the fact that we had 73,000 people paid attendance last weekend, of course, Dallas, Texas, for the big fight between Canelo Alvarez and Billy Joe Saunders. Now, one of the blights on that fight was the fact that my homies were throwing blows in the stands, you know, like that one fat guy they showed on TV and during the highlights. Listen, man, if you're going to fight and you're going to take off your shirt, don't look like that. Okay. And then don't get beat up. Them girls slapped you around. You see that thing? Did anybody else see that videotape on TV where the guy was getting beat up by the girls? The girls are socking them up there in the studio, up in the Dallas Stadium. I mean, listen, you're going to take off your shirt, you're going to get macho. Don't get beat up by women, man. I mean, get beat up by a man. At least go out like a star. Anyway, bottom line is, that's your YouTube claim for fame. We're back with the president of the World Boxing Council, Mauricio Sulaiman. Mauricio, I got to ask you, what's happening with Ryan Garcia? How's he feeling?
Well, I believe that, he's on the way to recovery. We have been monitoring and trying to be close to him, and we will fully support him on this path. He took a brave step. It was very good that he decided to attend his issues, his problems, and he's a role model and an example to others that need to attend their brain health, their mental health, whenever there's a situation. There's always a solution. And many times we don't see it, and we need to have someone to help us to get out of that horrible nightmare that is the situation that go into your mind.
You know, it's a couple of people I know have questioned his intestinal fortitude. They tried to say that, you know, maybe he doesn't lack the guts to do this, and then this was the same person that gets anxiety attacks himself. So I said to him, you're not a coward and you get anxiety attacks. Well, what's up with that? So I guess he's seeing things from a different perspective now. But Ryan Garcia, do we expect him back in the ring in 2021?
I don't know. He showed that he was already training, but it is up to him. And we will be there for whenever he's ready to go back into the ring. The WBC will support him. But it's most important that he attends. This is a long time situation he has had, so it is not a quick recovery. It needs a process. And it's like when you're an alcoholic, maybe in 2 weeks you feel you are already there, but you need months to really finish a process of healing.
Okay. No doubt about that, Mauricio. Mauricio, when you look at the World Boxing Council right now and the fact that your father's looking down on us all, they just opened a gym in Sinaloa, Mexico, under his name, didn't they?
Yes, it was a very humbling experience to be down there in Mazatlan. The gym is beautiful, and it has so many pictures of my father, and it has three rings, so many punching bags, and that's where the future champs will start their career, their path in boxing.
When he envisioned and put together the WBC back in the 60s, do you think he thought it would be lasting through the 21st century like it has, being the number one sanctioning body?
Yes, because he worked very hard, and he always promoted unity and teamwork. The team of people from all over the world that work every single day to try to make boxing better and safer. It's the team that he ensembled, and the new blood that has been coming in, they all share the same principle and values. So I am sure that the WBC will be here for as long as boxing exists.
Okay. WBC President Mauricio Sulaiman, we will keep him until after the break and talk to him a few short more minutes. The bottom line is, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Of course, you can always catch out the latest with the World Boxing Council by going to their website, WBCBoxing.com. Tower of power to the break. Ain't nothing stopping us now.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
40 minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. South of the border, of course, we go with the WBC president, Mr. Mauricio Sulaiman. Mauricio, in 1984, God, I'm dating myself, but in 1984, I came in number 13 in the country when it came to the Olympic trials. So what I'm trying to tell you is the Olympics were hot in my day. I mean, Mark Breland won the gold medal that year. Tyrell Biggs was a heavyweight champion. I mean, there was all kinds of stars that year. Meldrick Taylor, I can keep going on. Pernell Whitaker. What's happening with Olympic boxing now? Why is it not jumping off the table? Why is it?
Well, it has been a horrible two decades of very bad administration by AIBA, which led to the Olympic Committee to withdraw recognition from them. And now there is a complete chaos. There's no rule, there's no order, there's no one to look after the Olympic, the amateur boxing. So I'm very, very concerned because in Tokyo, the selection, of course, due to the pandemic, many competitions could not take place. So they're going to have the rankings from 2 years ago. Those will be the ones representing several of the countries. And this will be the lowest number of boxers ever for the USA. Only two men will participate and four women. And Mexico only has one female fighter going to the Olympics. So this is dramatic. It's an absolute concern. And we expect that amateur boxing resolves its situation in the immediate future. Otherwise, it's going to be a problem for professional boxing because the grassroots and the new talent comes from the great structure of amateur boxing.
You know, Mauricio, I concur with you 100% on that. But, you know, the fact that two Olympic boxers are going to the Olympic Games, that's an indictment of USA boxing.
I don't believe it's USA Boxing's fault.
Okay.
I believe it is the International Federation, AIBA, the way they led wrongly for the last two decades. It hurt the amateur programs all over the world. There has been so much corruption and bad performance of the judges, and he just got kidnapped. Amateur boxing was kidnapped. And now it's suffering the consequences. I have seen USA Boxing trying to do good activity and with a limited situation, and then the pandemic hit. But I think USA Boxing and other countries are trying to do what is best, but they were not able to do it. So now it's in the aftermath, we have to regroup and see how amateur boxing can be saved.
Yeah, but amateur boxing, they had pros fighting in the Olympics. I mean, what happened to the sanctity, the purity of the amateur game? And the Olympics was supposed to be about the best amateurs from this country versus the best amateurs from that country. So you're trying to tell me I've got to fight Vitaly Klitschko?
That's exactly the problem. That's why we initiated a huge campaign against what was happening with AIBA. So how can you expect professionals to go into the Olympic Games that would kill amateur boxing? So this is a moment where it's a time for all the reforms, and there is no going to be what they wanted to do, to have the big profile professionals. That is not going to happen. So we are expecting that a new process will begin after these Olympic Games, and hopefully there will be a new era for amateur boxing.
Without a doubt, the amateur boxing, of course, the amateur boxing is the plant that feeds the seedling, the seed that feeds the professional ranks, no doubt about that. Now, we're talking about the World Heavyweight Championship. Is that going to happen August the 14th in Dubai? Are they going to, Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua going to do this or what?
Well, I just saw a posting by Tyson Fury saying it's done, and that should mean that it's a reality. They've been talking for a long time. Hopefully it is, and That will be the greatest fight in a long, long time, at least from the popularity and expectations. This is something that will have the world watching like Ali Frazier did in 1971.
Okay, I'll go along with you on that. But the bottom line is the fight's going to be in Dubai. That means there's not going to be too many people going to this fight. I mean, I don't want to say this. Oh, yeah, I will say it. Dubai's a hellhole. I never want to go back to Dubai. It was terrible. I couldn't believe it. It was like 120 degrees in the wintertime, Mauricio.
Well, this is the world. This is the world. That's why it's a world championship. It's
I get it.
A new
I get it. I'm just having to go. It was so hot there. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. They told me this is winter time. That's what they said to me. That's how they got me to go to Dubai. They told me it was winter in Dubai. I said, cool. I went over there. It was like 112 degrees. So that was
incredible.
So now, what are we looking for as far as the WBC 135 pound situation is concerned? We've got Linares and Haney are going to go at it pretty soon. That's going to be on the zone, right?
Yes, Linares Haney on May 29th from Las Vegas. That should be a sensational fight and proves that the tournament that we started with the creation of the franchise designation has proven to bring great fights and great activity. So we have Linares, and then we have Teofimo with Cambosis and at the end of June. So we have Fortuna, who has been, unfortunately, out of so many fights due to others' problems. But I expect to have great activity in the lightweight division this year.
Who is Nordine Orbali?
He is a WBC bantamweight champion who is going to be defending against Donair in the mandatory title defense. May 29, California, sensational match.
Nordine, I've seen a couple of films of him on tape. He looks good on YouTube. And, of course, the Filipino Flash, man, he's from Northern California, Newark, California. Newark, California is where Nonito lives, him and his wife, Rachel. Now, this is going to go – this is for the WBC 118-pound title, so he's going to make 118 at the age of 38?
118, and his last fight, he did 118, and he almost won against Inoue, who was a heavy favorite. So that put him back in the map, and – he's a mandatory contender. It should be a great match.
Okay. I try to explain this to people that why is it we start off with 105-pound weight class, we go to 108 pounds and 112 pounds. Can you explain to people the size difference between those weight classes? Because I try to tell them, and they tell me it's only 3 pounds. They don't realize there's a physical size mass difference.
Well, weight is the most important factor in boxing. And when you have a difference, when you have to lose weight to remain in a division, or you have to move up to the next division giving weight advantage, that's why the WBC implemented so many different weight categories, intermediate divisions, to make boxing safer and create opportunities for more fighters. So 3 pounds might be nothing for me, or for you, Pedro, but you're smaller. But 3 pounds for a strawweight is a lot of weight.
Listen.
1 pound, when you give up, when you lose 1 pound, just try losing a pound from one day to another and you will see what it is.
No, listen, one time I went to the scale, I dried out and the scale was wrong. We had a scale in my room and it was wrong. It said 139 pounds. I went down, I was on the junior welterweight limit. I took off my underwear the whole 9 yards. I stepped on the scale. I was 139 and 3/4 pounds. That was the hardest 3/4 pounds I ever took off in my life.
Absolutely.
I mean, I won't even want to tell you what I had to do that, but I was running around the hotel with sweatshirts on. I went in the shower. An hour and a half later, I made the weight, but that was just 3/4 of a pound. So imagine taking off a lot of weight. So anyway, Mauricio, kiss mama for me. Anything else in the world of WBC you want to get across? Has Oscar Valdez got a date yet?
No, I don't think so, but we'll be watching the administration of all the divisions, and we'll have for next week, a lot of information for you, my dear Pedro.
Thank you, my brother. Kiss mama for me, because I missed her on Mother's Day, but give her a big kiss for me, okay?
Thank you so much. Have a great Sunday.
The great Mauricio Suleiman, my man. He takes good care of me, and he sponsors the show as well. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, this is the hour number two coming to you on Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time for 2 hours. Live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 217. Of course, we come to you live on Twitch.tv, the live broadcast, the Twitch broadcast, the stream broadcast, the Sports Byline USA channel, and get this, the network is putting these videos together after the fact. In other words, like, you'll have a video to run today, and then tomorrow or later today, they'll call it the Ring Talk Highlights, the WBC TV Highlights. And that is the edited version of this show. In other words, you don't get to watch all the commercials. Kind of stuff. So rocks and rolls. Check it out. You'll find it at the website soon. Maybe I'll have it up at the Facebook page, probably about 7 or 8 o'clock. But it's always rock and roll, and no doubt about that. Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Check them out, twitch.tv. Now, Tyson Fury defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Anthony Joshua. Here's what's up. I'm going to go out on a limb right now and say Joshua gets drilled. Now, how can I say that? I was so high on Joshua. I mean, he was like the heir apparent to greatness, right? Until he got hit on the chin. Once you get hit on the chin, things change. You know, I got hit on the chin. I was standing up. Some guys get hit on the chin, they get knocked down. Some guys get up. Some guys don't. Joshua didn't get up. Joshua was toast. There's no doubt about it. I don't see him beating Tyson Fury, not in any time sooner or future. Absolutely no doubt about that. As far as the rest of the heavyweight division is concerned, Malik Scott, pretty good guy when he was fighting. Of course, he's one of my partners on Facebook. But he has now signed up to train Deontay Wilder. That's right, Deontay Wilder. Of course, the one-punch artist, the one-trick pony. Let's be honest, 2008 Olympic bronze medalist from Mobile, Alabama. Of course, he was hot. He had Mark Breland for a trainer. What did he say after he lost that first fight? He was drugged. His corner man drugged him. They put Valiums in his water in between rounds. That's kind of good stuff. Then Tyson Fury used illegal gloves. In other words, the bottom line is Deontay Wilder wouldn't own up to the fact he got his kicked. He just did. He got his kicked. So now he's got Malik Scott in the corner. And what can Malik bring to the game? Well, unless you teach this guy how to dance, and I mean footwork, basic footwork, he's got two left feet. He's a 6'7" black guy. If I was 6'7" and black, if I was 6'7", I'd never lose a fight in my life. But if I was 6'7" and black and had his stature and his muscle tones and that kind of good stuff, I would learn how to fight. You can't. You got to learn how to fight. You just can't punch. Punching is not fighting. There's a big difference. Taking a shot, the ability to throw combinations together, work the body, come up and down, work a strategy. This is not in Deontay Wilder's mindset. All he wants to do is go out there and knock you out with the right hand. Of course, he did knock down Tyson Fury not once, but twice. And, of course, the second time in that 12th round, everybody was miraculous that Tyson Fury got up. But he got up. And then he came back in the rematch. Of course, they ruled that fight a draw after 12 rounds. He came back in the rematch, and he beat the brakes off Anthony Joshua. I'm trying to be kind here, but he beat the brakes off Anthony Joshua. He just did. There was just no doubt about it, okay? And I just don't think that any time you look at the heavyweight division right now, you look at it, you have to think Tyson Fury. It's all about Tyson Fury. There's nobody else in the world heavyweight picture, I think. I don't think Anthony Joshua's going to make it, and I don't think there's anybody coming up that's going to make it anyway. Looking at some of the mail coming in here, Marvin Hagler. May he rest in peace. Would he have beaten any of today's middleweights? Probably beaten all of today's middleweights. Marvin was a 15-round fighter, complete, no doubt about that, of course. And one of the few guys to shut me the L up. Remember I told you that one? We were in Mexico City. He said to me, and I okay, what do you mean? Because I didn't know. You never knew with Marvin whether he was real or was not. I didn't want him coming across the table at me. And a couple of times, I sort of irked him on. I told him he lost to Ray Leonard. I lost to Ray Leonard? He told Marvin Hagler, you lost to Ray Leonard. How did I lose to Ray Leonard? Well, this is what I tried. I tried to do it eloquently. I said, you lost the first four rounds because you boxed right-handed and you gave away the first four rounds. Okay. So all Ray had to do was win three rounds or steal three rounds after round 5 to round 12. And I think he did that. Therefore, I gave him the fight. And Marvin's looking at me like he's going to kill me. I don't know how he's going to react. Okay. He said, you got a point there. I did give away a couple of early rounds I probably shouldn't have. But at the end of the day, of course, he was the world middleweight champion, had that thrilling fight with Thomas Hearns in 1985, of course, came back, fought the beast Mugabe in 1986, and of course, retired after the Leonard fight in 1987. Bottom line is, pound for pound, maybe the best of all time, Marvin Hagler. May he rest in peace. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live, Worldwide, Little Tower of Power, and Hubert Tubbs to the break.
Ring Talk Live, Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
The funky saxophone, the baritone sax of the funky doc himself, Dr. Stephen McKenzie Cooper of Tower of Power. Josh Taylor, 17 and zip, 13 KOs from the UK, of course, a hot fighter, no doubt about that, taking on California's very own Juan Carlos Ramirez. Of course, that goes, think about it, Jose Carlos Ramirez, that goes down next week on ESPN, May 22nd. They're battling for all the 140-pound belts. In fact, if I was a pro, I'd be at 135, not 140. Anyway, bottom line is these guys are going to hook it up. This is a fight on ESPN. It's a pick'em fight. Any way you look at it, I sort of lean towards Taylor. Why do I lean towards Taylor? Because I think that he's got a little bit more boxing acumen in his background. I think the fact that he's going to view this as a historical match between the United States and Britain, I think will come with all his players. No doubt about that. So we wish him the very best of luck. That's going to go down next week. As far as the UFC is concerned, I'm going to go back to it, folks. I'm not into pimping people. If you're telling me that you're going to make $890 million and you're only giving 8% of that to the fighters, you deserve to be arrested for pimping. And that's Dana White. Is that corporate America? Am I supposed to kick back and resign due to the fact that corporate America is making this type of money and not some sleazy boxing promoter like Don King? Well, so corporate America is better than Don King? Listen, if you're screwing people, and they are screwing people in the UFC, you need to pay. You gotta pay the fighters. I can't believe that. Imagine this. The guy sold out Madison Square Garden. I'm talking about Jorge Masvidal. Sold out MSG. They gave him $500,000. Guess how much MSG in tickets? $7 million. Guess how much in pay-per-view? $120 million. So $127 million, and he got paid $500,000 for selling out the entire arena. If that ain't pimping, nothing is. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live, worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking the world of boxing and MMA. Until next week. Keep your hands up. Keep your chin down. Most importantly, keep your butt off the canvas of life. And of course, I want to thank my in-studio guest, the former Miss Barbara Delamore. Until next time, peace, love, and 1,000 pounds of respect.